So we're in batch number 3 of local news and features for Update Talking News Stoke. Got 4 more stories for you. So the stories coming up, my headlines are inside the family-run Stoke-on-Trent shop, spreading Christmas cheer already, and why Royal Stoke patients making a cup of tea in this kitchen can get home faster. And Liz has coming up.
Historic Tunstall property with hole in roof turned into luxury home and restaurant. And council balloon release ban rears its head as memorial event sparks complaints.
Brilliant. So my first story for you now is inside the family-run Stoke-on-Trent shop, spreading Christmas cheer already. Business owner Emma Lychek is hoping to spread festive cheer with a stunning window display, and it has been getting big smiles from drivers sat in traffic. The impressive festive artwork has been unveiled at Joiner Square-based Harrison Carpets and Flooring. It's been getting a positive reaction from motorists sat on Leek Road, along with local youngsters. Along with traditional festive scenes and the Grinch, there's even a Harrison delivery van among the artwork. It's the latest window art being carried out by Burnt Copper Creations, which has also been at work at Werrington's Bobby Ice Cream Parlour. And Emma of Longton says people have given the 8 window panes top marks after the murals took two full days to complete. The 47-year-old said, "We have lots of passing cars all through the day, and unfortunately for commuters, traffic builds up during rush hour. The cars then are queuing, but they're smiling and pointing at the windows. I know it's literally just after bonfire night, but I thought the sooner the display is completed, the sooner we can bring smiles to people's faces. Mission accomplished, I believe. Every customer that has been to the shop has commented on the display and asked who's done it. It was done by Jordan Walmar of Burnt Copper, who Emma has been quick to praise. She was inspired after seeing her local hairdresser's fabulous hair and beauty have a Halloween display in their window. She said it looked fantastic and I thought it would be a great idea for our shop front. I contacted Jordan and asked him to pop in to see me. Jordan was amazed at how big our shop frontage is. I asked him if he'd like to display his art through a Christmas themed window, and Jordan said it would be his biggest ever window display. As soon as it was unveiled, Emma said youngsters stopped to take photos and give a thumbs up to staff. After Emma being a focal point comes as she continues to operate what is a long-running family firm. It was started by her granddad back in 1971 on Waterloo Road in Hanley before her dad took it over in the late 1990s, and it moved to Westmill Street in Joiner Square, when the previous base was earmarked for demolition. Emma said, "I joined the business in 2002, and in 2021 I took over from my dad and we moved into our large new premises with a prominent spot on Leek Road, just off Joiner Square roundabout." She added, "I'm so pleased to be able to show Jordan's talent, and I will certainly have more window displays in the future." Jordan, a commercial plumber by trade, has been pleased with the outcome on Leek Road. The 32-year-old of Forsbrook said, "I really enjoyed seeing the kids give up the thumbs up to what I was doing with the windows. I loved the challenge and it was my biggest window scene so far. I also love putting some fun in and the scenes like carpet fitters and Paul's office. And the secret to coming up with such an impressive display, I use cans of snow sprays, scrapers and a lot of patience," added Jordan. So more information on Burnt Copper Creations can be found on their Facebook page by googling Burnt Copper Creations. Over to Liz, who's going to do her first story for us now in batch 3.
Historic Tunstall property with hole in roof turned into luxury home and restaurant. An historic 5-storey property in Tunstall with a gaping hole in the roof and mould-ridden walls was turned into a luxury home with a restaurant on the ground floor. The stunning transformation of the rundown Victorian property featured in an episode of hit BBC daytime show Homes Under the Hammer. Despite some significant causes for concern, taxi driver Sartek Goel saw the potential in the huge high street property, which dates back to 1891. As well as mould covering some of the walls and ceilings, presenter Martin Roberts discovered severe damage to the roof in a corner of an upstairs bedroom. In fact, the hole was so big he could fit his whole hand through it. "I think I may have just found the reason why it's so damp downstairs," Martin told viewers. "It's a mess. You definitely need to get that sorted out." Cabby Sartak snapped up the former Salvation Army shop building at auction for £93,500, having been following the property closely. He'd also previously had offers for the building turned down. The business graduate told Martin he had never renovated a property before, but dreamed of turning this into a home for himself, his wife and his baby. His other aim was to open his own Indian restaurant downstairs, another first for Sartak. Having already started work on the new eatery, Sartak estimated that the rest of the property would take up to 6 months to renovate. He set himself a budget of £50,000 to £60,000. The BBC cameras returned some 8 months later, and although there were some minor things to finish, Sartak had completely transformed the upper floors. The damp and mould were long gone, and he'd installed kitchens and bathrooms on each floor, as well as new carpets, plumbing, central heating and new kitchens and bathrooms. The bedrooms were given a modern luxury feel, thanks to the addition of LED-coloured lighting above the beds. And to stop the water coming in, the roof had been fixed and double glazing installed. Downstairs, he had already opened his restaurant, although it was temporarily closed while the finishing touches to the upper floors were completed. The venue, Paratha Junction, has since closed, with plans revealed in 2023 for the ground floor to be turned into Goals Bar Sports and Grill, although that has yet to materialise. In terms of the renovation, back in 2022, Sartak has been helped by Dad Dharam. He told the show his plans had changed slightly and his parents would possibly be moving into the upper floors of the property while he lived on the first floor. If they chose not to move in, he would look at renting out the apartments on the upper floors. Overall, Sartak had spent £60,000 on the renovation and the building itself had cost £104,000 after expenses and fees, meaning a total spend of £164,000. Estate agent Joe Shenton was impressed with the work that had been done, saying, "Overall, I think it's been a good renovation. There are still some areas that need improving. However, I can see where they're going with it." He reckoned the property could now be sold for around £175,000, but Sartak disagreed. "I think he's telling the valuation very, very low," he said. "According to my calculation, it's going to be at least £250,000.
Wonderful. Many thanks for that, Liz. So my story for you now, my final one in batch three, is why Royal Stoke patients making a cup of tea in this kitchen can get home faster. A new therapy assessment kitchen at the Royal Stoke is helping more patients return to their own homes quicker. UHNM's team of occupational therapists will use the kitchen to complete a number of assessments on patients based in the older adult wards. Patients will be assessed on their ability to carry out everyday tasks, such as preparing a drink or snack, to help better determine when they can go home or to their place of care, and what support they require when they're there. The dedicated kitchen based in the Royal Stoke's West Building has been specifically equipped thanks to support from UHNM charity and local community organisations. Jen Murdoch, an advanced occupational therapist at UHNM, said assessing patients by asking them to carry out activities like making a cup of tea is a key part of our role. We can look at how they're doing in terms of their cognition and physical functioning, which will help us to guide their discharge plan and get them the right package of care and make them more confident and safer once they're at home. Prior to their assessments, patients would have been discharged with care packages they may not have actually needed, but having that accurate assessment and information enables our partners in social care to make the right decisions about what their care needs actually are. Fellow advanced occupational therapist Hannah Lewis added, "We know that people function better in a familiar environment, so we wanted to create a welcoming space where patients can take a break from the clinical setting of the ward environment. This will not only help with their well-being, but will also help tackle deconditioning, which can be a problem for elderly patients when in hospital. For patients with dementia, we find a lot of time their strongest memories are their earliest memories, so we've sourced items that are locally appropriate, for example, pottery that patients may have had in their kitchen in the past, helping them to reminisce and promoting engagement." Lee Ann Boardman, matron for older adults at UHNM, said it's fantastic news for patients that we now have a therapy kitchen within the West Building, giving them the opportunity to gain confidence pre-discharge. It's a lovely area for patients to come to away from the ward environment, and I look forward to hearing the feedback from our staff and patients. Jen added, "We're so excited about this new facility. It's something that will make a huge difference to our patients. Whilst therapy assessment is not a new concept, it's what our patients need and will help support them get the best care possible." So over to Liz now, who's going to do the final story for us in Batch 3.
Council balloon release ban rears its head as memorial event sparks complaints. A memorial balloon release in a public place in Stafford Borough has prompted concerns from councillors about enforcement and environmental impact. There has been a ban in place on releasing balloons and sky lanterns on Stafford Borough Council-owned parks and public spaces for several years, after the potential danger to animals of consuming lantern and balloon debris was highlighted. But Councillor Andy McNaughton has called for the issue to be considered by the council once again following a recent memorial event. "It went ahead, and I know people who complained about it who have livestock," he said at the latest Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. Councillor Louise Nixon said, however, "I believe the family believed that it wasn't dangerous to have a specific type of balloon. For that family and group of people, they're already feeling bad for the situation they're in." Josh Pressland, the council's head of operations, including bereavement services and parks and open spaces, told the committee that the authority did not have powers to stop the balloon release. He said, "There was a motion passed some years ago by the borough banning the release of balloons and sky lanterns on council parks and open spaces, as at other authorities, including Cannock, the difficulty being that the motion didn't come with any powers, so we don't have any powers to stop it. Organisers could move onto the highways and release the balloons from there. The offence of littering isn't the release of a balloon, it's where the balloon falls, so that litter could fall outside of the borough. If people approach us and say, 'Can we do a balloon release?' we say, 'No, unfortunately we don't allow it.' There are other forms of memorial you can do. You could plant a tree or do a tethered balloon release, for example, where people tie string to them and put a tent peg in and release them for a while. The other thing is, we didn't have a direct contact with the organiser. We only had third-party information on Facebook. We can't, as an authority, contact them directly through our Facebook account because Facebook doesn't allow us to unless they have already contacted us. The team tried to find out if there was a family liaison officer appointed by the police so we could try and get contact with them that way, but there wasn't. We didn't want to put something on the public page to say we don't allow this to happen because we didn't think this was appropriate for the family. But going forward, we think perhaps we need to publicise it better at our open spaces, put up signs saying we don't allow releases, and do something on Facebook to remind people that we don't allow that." Councillor Anne Edgeller said, "It's a shame we can't enforce because it's really not good." Councillors Jack Rose and Marnie Phillips asked if the council could consider measures to enable enforcement. Councillor Phillips said, "It's about educating people. Everybody does it and then we learn why we shouldn't. It's done with the best of intent and for emotional reasons, but the reality is the impact on the environment. It's horrific and very long lasting." Mr. Preslin said, you could create a bylaw or potentially add it to the PSPO's public space protection orders. That way it becomes covered by the PSPO and a fixed penalty notice. We've had a ban in at Cannock for 5 years now, and this is the only one I've known with a balloon release. More often than not, people approach us and ask if they can do a balloon release, but we don't allow them around cemeteries. But Councillor Andy Cooper described the bylaw proposal as a sledgehammer to crack a nut. He added, we can have bylaws till they're coming out of our ears and it won't do anything because of enforcement. An order restricting cycling through the middle of Market Square is not enforced. I get nearly mown down no end of times by bikes, but no one is enforcing it and it's ignored. Nobody is going to be able to track where a particular balloon came from. It's just become a nonsense. What does work is education and people realising why it's not on to do this sort of thing and what the impact is. It's technically littering and it's a danger to the countryside. I hold my hands up. About 15 years ago my mum passed away and we had a Chinese lantern. All wrote a little message on it and sent it off in the sky. A week later I was talking to a farmer friend who was despairing about the cattle he had sick who had been chewing balloons. I was educated on it, and that is a better way of doing it than trying to do a bylaw.